97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
How about that? Islands in the Stream. Man, I haven't heard that one in a long time as we continue to play some of Dolly Parton's hits from over the years. Everybody's talking about her death this morning, and that was really a shock to a lot of us. As we welcome you back to the show here, the Mark Cox Show, I'm Mark. That is Ethan Bright over there. You heard Matthew Rocchio giving us the news earlier. He's filling in for Kim this morning. We had Dan Buck helping out yesterday. Kim's been a little under the weather, and we're hoping that she will be back with us maybe tomorrow. Somebody here on the Facebook page, or no, YouTube, said Rocchio is getting around. Good to hear you. So, anyway, good to get Matthew in here this morning. We appreciate his time for sure. I know he was out late last night. I think he was running the board for the Cardinals game, correct, which was rather disappointing, the outcome of that last night. We were talking about that a little bit in the last hour or so. So if you're with us this morning, we're covering the primary in South Carolina. I just saw a headline here this morning because, of course, Darlene Graham won South Carolina over the man many people thought was the better choice, at least the conservatives I know in South Carolina. And now here's the headline in the Hill newspaper this morning. Democrats see a glimmer of hope in South Carolina because Darlene Graham is the candidate instead of Ralph Norman. So I don't know. Right now, the race is about a 5-point race. So we'll see what happens. The person running against her is a pediatrician named Annie Andrews, and I've never heard of her before. Graham should have no problem with that race. That's a heavily Republican area. Plus, she's got the president and the senator and the governor all on her side. So I don't know. We'll see. If that turns into an interesting race. What's going on with Canada? We've been covering that. I was thrilled we got Taylor Riggs this morning because we want to talk about the Canadian tariff issue, which, again, I don't think would be an issue if the media wasn't playing it up. If Canada quit trading with us tomorrow, most of us would not notice it. It's a blip on the radar for the U.S. economy. It really is. They need us a lot more than we need them. So why is the media acting like Canada's fired the latest shot in the trade war? I'm not sure that is a correct analysis of what's going on here. Anyway, good to have Taylor on a little later because we can talk to her about that at the bottom of the hour. Jimmy Failla is going to be coming up in just a few minutes. We got Holly Klasser at the end of the hour talking about the Focus Marine Foundation. We'll be helping them out on 9/11. Great breakfast available to you down at Chicken Ellie's. A portion of all the money we raise is going to go to the Focus Marines, and you can join us for a live broadcast down there on the morning of 9/11. All right, let's get to our top stories right now. Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Under no circumstances do I think men should compete against women. I did not agree with that. The WNBA is for women, and we're not going to discuss it again. I'm disappointed at Adam and Kathy. Like, you should say it.
The round mound of rebound. What Charles Barkley's talking about there is he's upset with the leaders of the WNBA and the NBA who won't just come out and say men should not be playing women's professional basketball. They shouldn't. They would dominate it. The idea of Title IX was to protect our women. What in the hell are we thinking about?
You know, this was an incredibly privileged woman, incredibly wealthy. She had a nanny, and she's still complaining that she needed help. She could not have got more help from the system that she already have received. This is a murderer who strangled her children one by one.
Yeah, that was a guy named Thomas Corbett Dillon. I loved his accent. He was going sideways on this Lindsey Clancy deal, and there was some former Obama advisor sitting there who got so angry with him, she got up and walked off the set. It was something to behold.
I didn't quite get over his comparison of the sex change procedures on children to circumcision. I do think people need to know how horrific those surgeries are for children who are subjected to them.
Yeah, thank you, Molly Hemingway, for pointing that out. It happened during the Jesse Waters interview the other night. The guy asked Jesse if he was circumcised, which seemed inappropriate, but then he tried to compare that to having, you know, a kid having his dangling participle cut off when he's underage. I mean, give me a break.
I always say about her that she, when people would ask me, what's Dolly like? I said, think of everything you like about her. Everything, all her charm, her beauty, her beautiful music, her kind words, her wicked sense of humor. Multiply it by 10, and you're getting there.
Yeah, that's James Woods, the actor, who I follow on Twitter. He's a great follow on X, by the way. I followed him for years. He was commenting on his friendship with Dolly Parton and what she meant to the country. The Flags are at half staff for the next week, as they should be. And what a shocker to that. I mean, we've talked about it some this morning, but the fact that she, her nephew announced yesterday that she passed away from cancer. I didn't know she had cancer. I thought she was recovering after that. Apparently, she did an interview just a few days ago, but took a turn for the worse. And at 80 years old, she just didn't seem 80. Maybe it was part of the fact of how she looked. Maybe it was part of the fact that she always seemed so vibrant. But that was a real shock to the system for me. I want to get back to that bite from Charles Barkley. I want to play the whole thing for you. I played it in the short list there, but I want to play the whole thing for you. They're asking Charles Barkley about the WNBA controversy, right? Enes Kanter gets kicked out of a game the other day because one of the WNBA players didn't like him and yelled something at him, put his hands up, and they kicked him out of the game. They knew he was coming. I think it was all planned. The WNBA has completely fumbled the ball on this issue. A league designed to allow women to play a professional sport is killing its own argument here. They really are. So somebody finally got around to asking Charles Barkley, who will tell you what he thinks, regardless of whether you like it or not. Go to cut number two, please.
I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. People, they can get mad, whatever. I'm always support my gay friends. I'm always support my transgender friends. Under no circumstances do I think men should compete against women. I did not agree with that. I don't go back and forth yelling with people. I told you, I'm disappointed in Adam Silver. I love Adam Silver. He's amazing. I like Kathy a lot. They should have said this 3 weeks ago. It's called the WNBA. We're not going to discuss this. We're not going to turn it loose to the on the internet. We're going to say the WNBA is for women, and we're not going to discuss it again. I'm disappointed at Adam and Kathy. Like, you should say it.
You should say it. It's true. How old is Charles Barkley? He's got to be my age. He was playing basketball in the mid 80s. I'll bet you he could start a WNBA game tomorrow and score 50 points easily because nobody could stop him. I mean, that's the thing about it. There are no women in the NBA because not a single one could even make it in the G League, which is the developmental league. Why are we having this? Why do we have to pretend? We have to pretend that men are women. I just don't know where that comes from. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. We'll get to our friend Jimmy Failla when we come back.
Representative Singh, after bravely facing a brief battle with cancer, Dolly departed her earthly life at the Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, surrounded by loved ones.
Hey, girl. Jimmy Failla in the house from Fox Across America.
All right, Jimmy Failla. Boy, this sad news about Dolly Parton is kind of dominating all of the news coverage and headlines today, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavy for me because, as you know, I wear a lot of rhinestones and I also have big breasts. So, tough. I really identify.
That's hilarious. Did you ever run across her in your career?
Yeah, she was here at Fox. To do Fox and Friends. I didn't get to meet her. I got to see her, but I performed at the Grand Ole Opry. I did stand up at the Opry, and that's heavy, man, because there's a circle, you know, where like she stood or Johnny Cash stood, you know, and it's very humbling to know these people showed up with like actual talents and songs that impacted the world, and I have a bunch of jokes about my junk and some crazy thing I saw in a taxi. You don't quite feel qualified, but I was dressed like them.
No, yeah, there you go. I wondered about that because, you know, so many people have talked about their interactions with her over the years and just what a down-to-earth person she was and completely played into the dumb blonde thing. And there was just none of that there. She was a brilliant business person as well, apparently.
What's great is if you guys want to watch something funny, there's an interview with her and Barbara Walters from 1977 where Barbara Walters is clearly trying to talk down to her and doesn't understand, because a lot of these elite liberal women in the media couldn't fathom that this country girl from Tennessee who grew up in a log cabin with 11 siblings dead broke was actually more impactful, iconic, and sharp than any of them were. I mean, she made, you know, people say $450 to $600 million, gave another $500 million of it to charity. But she was obviously behind it all, razor smart, you know, and she had a very good understanding of what she meant to people, you know. And, you know, a lot, again, Barbara Walters, iconic in her own right as a journalist, but there's no comparison between her and Dolly Parton, you know. And she learned that the hard way. If you go watch the interview, it's on Twitter and it's in YouTube. It's 1977. And she's like, what do you say to people who think you're just a hillbilly? You know, trying to reduce. And she's like, well, I am. That's what I come from. You know, but I'm just the best version of it. You know, yeah, she says, like, we're not educated. We have horse sense. And horse sense got her $600 million. So I'll take that over your Harvard degree any day of the week.
I would guess. I wondered what size her estate must have been by this point. I mean, she had more number one hits than anybody else ever in country music, or females anyway in country music.
Yup. And of course, Dollywood. And, you know, she had her, you know, charity about the reading. And, you know, she'd forget movies and the Hannah Montana stuff. I mean, she was in so many different things, but she really was like the fabric of America. Like, I don't know that there's a more iconic name that was alive than Dolly Parton. And I don't know that there is one now, you know, because anybody that famous is not somebody we agree on. Meaning everybody on earth knows who Donald Trump is, but you're not going to have that universal buy-in like you do with Dolly.
Yep, very true. You know, I have to ask if you, I don't know if you were in the building when Jesse Waters interviewed Abdul Al-Sayed the other day and he asked about his circumcision. I mean, I think the guy had to lose points in Michigan over that one.
Yeah, I mean, I know. We've been watching all these video seminars every spring about how you're not supposed to talk about anyone's genitalia at work. Now Al-Sayed, I'm going to have to go to another friggin' seminar because of this guy. And, yeah, that was something. And I love how he tried to conflate circumcision with gender reassignment surgery. I'm like, think about circumcision is you still have it at the end of the surgery. As opposed to the other thing, you know? Not good. But that was some wild interview. And, yeah, there's, you know, he's not connecting with serious people. None of the socialists are. It's a manufactured momentum. We have fun talking about it. But the reality is they can't defend or explain their policies because there is no substance to any of this stuff. Tax the rich. Why? You know what I mean? And then what do you do with the money? You know, it's all crazy. So I love the interview, though. I'm glad they did it. I hope they do it again because it is still good to talk across the aisle, especially if you're on our side, because you come off like the sane person.
Yeah, it took some political guts for Al-Sayed to do that, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought that I thought Jesse handled it very well. But, I mean, the guy clearly, people could hear him evading the answers and I don't think it played very well for him. Hey, I have a question. What are you going to do when you can't get your maple syrup anymore because of our problems with Canada and the trade war?
Listen, I still have some connections in Vermont. Don't forget, I have an affiliate up there. I want to get some black market syrup. I mean, you know, I'm sure you saw this. Canada's not cut out for any type of war because yesterday, as you saw at the press conference, they opened with a stolen land acknowledgement. Okay, that's not a serious group of people when you're doing that type of performative stupidity. That means you're too woke for your own good. So I think Trump should just call Canada a bunch of racists for no good reason. Just say it, because they don't know what to do in the face of such things, and they'll just give us stuff. It's so funny.
I heard somebody say this morning that basically what Carney's doing is playing for the midterms. He's hoping he might influence the outcome of the election. And I'm like, for most people, if the mainstream media didn't report on this story and we quit trading with Canada tomorrow, nobody would know it.
No, they don't care. This isn't that's the point. Is Jay Carney probably has too many friends at MSNBC. But what they don't understand, and it's the reason Abdul Al-Sayed was on Fox. There are more Democrats watching Fox that hate watching. There are more independents watching it that just want to know what the fuss is about. You know, we're having a real conversation. Those other channels are just pretending and telling you, you know, oh, yeah, no, the socialists got all the heat right now. I mean, yes, they're burning money, but they don't have actual heat and connection with people.
It's crazy. Jimmy, we'll be listening today, my friend, and watching the Fox News Saturday night. Thank you.
Let's get him. See you, Mark.
Great having you on, Jimmy Failla, the great Jimmy Failla, a host of a Fox Across America that you hear every day from 6 to 7 right here on 97.1 FM Talk. All right, the question of the Canada tariffs. I've been talking about it all morning. What's really behind it? What impact does it really have on the U.S. economy? We'll talk to Taylor Riggs, co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business when we come back. Ah, little Uncle Ted to wake you up this morning if you weren't already awake on your Wednesday. Welcome back into the program. We are waiting on our friend Taylor Riggs to call in. And if you missed my comments earlier about what's going on in Canada, I was listening to Glenn Beck yesterday on the podcast, and I heard him make some comments that I thought were extraordinarily relevant to this issue. And his point was, why would Canada do what they're doing right now? If you it's pretty simple. I mean, if you can easily find these statistics somewhere, but if you go on and look, you'll see that we are Canada's top export market times 10, like $403 billion a year of exports to the United States. The next closest country is the United Kingdom with like 33. And then it goes down from there, right? 24 to China, 10 to Japan. The United States is far and away their top export market, and they're willing to get into a trade war with the United States of America. Their economy is almost completely dependent on trade with the United States of America. So what are the stakes here? This is what you'd have to ask yourself. What are the stakes for this Carney character? I thought Beck had a very interesting take on this. He's not one to take things at surface level. And he's always looking for the other way that could go. So this is what Beck said about it yesterday. Listen to this.
He cannot win a trade war with the United States. So why start one? Why? The answer is he's not fighting the tariffs. Just as I have told you, with everyone on Earth right now, they are fighting the calendar.
Look at 100 deals a day. I choose one.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
Most valuable commodity I know of is information.
Who is that girl?
I'm Taylor Riggs.
Great to have Taylor back on. Taylor, I don't know if you heard the tail end of that bite or not. That was Glenn Beck yesterday talking about what's really behind this Canada trade war, so to speak. He said Canada can't get in a trade war with us. Their economy can't exist without the United States. He says they're playing out the clock against the midterm, sort of like Iran is right now.
Yeah, so I totally agree. That's sort of one of the frustrations that I have about our system is we're always in a two-year cycle. And it's hard to plan for the long term when everyone's just thinking about their next political career. But I'm going to steal a line from my wonderful coworker, Brian, who has repeatedly said this on our air, and I cannot agree more. Canada and Mark Carney exists, his entire political career is because he's picking fights against Donald Trump and has Trump derangement syndrome. If Trump hadn't picked a fight with Canada, the other conservative guy would have been leading the country. The only reason Mark Carney even won that election is because it was sort of an anti-Trump. And so he is incentivized to keep the fight going. That's how Mark Carney stays in power. And I listened to that and I thought, you know what? That's a good point.
Yeah.
There's no incentive for them to do a deal because then he loses all of the anger, and that anger is what got him elected. So I think you're right. They're trying to run out the clock, but it's also serving Mark Carney's own political career to continue to fight with Donald Trump, because that's how we got elected in the first place.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, Taylor, somebody, one other point that I heard Beck make, and I heard somebody else make this point too, that it's certainly not making Canada great again to get involved in this fight. Who's it making great? And their argument was that it fits into the whole globalist argument, and the fact that a lot of these globalists do not like the way Donald Trump has challenged on tariff irregularities is, or you know, where we have tariff offsets where we don't charge hardly anything, but we're getting tariffed on our goods.
Yes. You know, someone said to, why are we picking a fight with our neighbor? And I said, well, that may not be a good neighbor. I think historically Canada was a very good neighbor, but they just did a deal with China where they're going to buy soybean oil, and then they undid the 100% tariff on cheap Chinese vehicles that a lot of people are wondering if these are little spy machines or will massively put our auto industry out of business.
Yes.
So Canada, I want to be careful because they're our neighbor. But if they're doing a deal with China, then I'm also not sure that Canada is our friend anymore either. So I think we just need to keep a closer eye on our neighbors, because we have to share the same driveway.
Yeah.
We have to share the same lawn. But if you're in bed with someone that's trying to blow me up, maybe you're not as good of a friend as I thought you were. So I think with them going to China and saying that we're open to doing deals with China made us also really rethink how committed they are to this relationship with us.
It's a good point. It is a good point. I want to play a soundbite from Ambassador Carla Sand yesterday talking about these economic sanctions we've imposed against Iran. Here we go.
It is an anaconda squeeze on their economy. Their inflation has skyrocketed. They're rationing bread. They're rationing fuel.
Is this really the greatest economic sanction package? Somebody called it D-Day. Is that what it is,
yeah.
Taylor?
Yeah, Scott Bessent's trying to call this economic D-Day, Operation Economic Outcast. Isolate them, isolate them, isolate them. I listened to Scott Bessent's speech when he unveiled this on Monday. He compared this to the fall of the Berlin Wall, and he said the Berlin Wall fell when ordinary soldiers stopped shooting their own people. If the IRGC's ordinary soldiers can no longer get paid, will they stop shooting their own people? Now, the counter argument to that is they are religious zealots, and they will blow themselves up and anyone else up because they have a religious fanatic that goes beyond getting paid. But that's the upper ranks, the lower guys. If they're not getting paid, what is their incentive to say, I'm going to just put down my gun and stop shooting because I'm starving and my family's starving? So I think that's going to take time, but I want to see in a week or two or 3 weeks or 4 weeks how that plays out. I think last week when the UAE, very monumental, said we're cutting off financial ties with Iran, if Dubai, Singapore, Hong Kong, if some of those shadow banks that are doing deals and routing money to Iran, if Iran leaders stop getting paid, do their own people turn on them? Do their own soldiers turn on them? I think what we're waiting to see will happen. Their inflation is 87%. You thought you're 9% or your current 3.5%, Dad. Try 87%. Their currency's in a dump. So, you know, I'm very optimistic. I liked the analogy to the Berlin Wall and the soldiers stopping shooting their own people.
Right.
But you're also dealing with a different regime. They have religion tied up in this, and they'll go for more than money. But I'm hoping that money is one way to continue to put pressure on them.
That's true. Taylor, what do you have coming up on the show today?
Oh, goodness. So we have NVIDIA results after the bell. We thought that they were some of the most important earnings. But now with, you know, tariffs and trade going on, there's a lot else happening as well. We just got a Meta settlement as well. $17 billion Meta has settled with a group of states. So I want to see as well how much of that changes the way that we're viewing social media in this country, and if that's even enough to move the needle.
All right. We'll be watching. Taylor, thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
All right. The Big Money Show, of course, airs right there on the Fox Business weekdays starting at noon. You can watch Taylor. All right. Coming up, we're going to tell you more about our live broadcast we're going to do on 9/11 and how you can help the Focus Marine Foundation. All right. It's going to be here before we know it. 9/11 is going to sneak up on us. And, of course, there will be a large event going on in New York City that day to commemorate the 25 years that have elapsed since 9/11. It is a solemn day. It's a day to remember. It's a day to honor people that made sacrifices that day. And the ones that made sacrifices after that, when America went out and got even, let's put it that way, for the terrorist attacks that happened on our great country on that day. We're going to take the show live that day for a couple of reasons. Number one, because we enjoy doing it. Number two, because we like to eat, and we're going to Chicken Ellie's down in Eureka. And number three, because we have a chance to give back to the Focus Marine Foundation and some of the great work that they do. We've done this now for a couple of years, and we have Holly Klassner on the line with us this morning. She's the development coordinator for Focus Marine Foundation. Holly, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you guys again. Just for people that are just catching up, remind them exactly what Focus Marines does.
Absolutely. So Focus Marines Foundation is a nonprofit. We fly veterans from all over the United States to a private farm in Augusta, Missouri. It's a 7-day program for post 9/11 veterans. And what we're dealing with is maybe our veterans that might have struggled coming back home, dealing with combat stress, survivor's guilt, like that victim mentality. And that's what we address at Focus. We help with anxiety, depression, addiction, just the negative self-doubt, and even interpersonal relationships, like helping with the relationships between family and friends and our veterans. What's a little bit different about Focus is that we just don't stop at that 7 days. What we do is in that program, we're finding a new focus and a new mission, a new goal in life that maybe our veterans have been missing. And so when they go home, we don't want them back into that downward spiral. So we have what we call buddy checks once a month and then refocus twice a month so that they're never alone. Focus is always there for them. So when they go back home, we are helping them stay accountable for their new path in life and help to get them there, however that is for that veteran.
It's incredible talking to some of the graduates who've really become part of the family, because you create a family down there when you do that, I know, and they've talked about the impact it's had on their lives. How many veterans' lives have you guys touched?
We've been around since 2010, and we've had over 1,200 graduates.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I know it's not inexpensive to do what you do, and you try to raise money for that in a variety of different reasons. However, whatever little way we can help, we want to certainly try to do that. Now, you have a raffle going on, is that correct, leading up to September 11th?
We do. We had a lovely company donate a 7-day, well, actually, it's an 8-night, 7-day Mexico trip, but you have the choice between Cancun, Cabo, or Puerto Vallarta. Nice. It's for two adults. I know it's for two adults in a deluxe accommodation. The tickets are $25 a piece, but you can buy 5 for $100, and it's going on till September 1st, so you still have a few more days. And you can find that on our website under news and events, and it's actually on your website too.
Yep, we have a link to it there at 971talk.com. Excuse me, or you can go to focusmarines.org and look for it there, because try to get in on that. Obviously, the money all goes to a great cause, and maybe you win a great vacation. I've been to Cabo before, and I'm telling you what, if you've never seen that, you got to get down there. That's fantastic. Thanks to that company. Who donated it? Are you announcing that?
It was Compliments of Everything Gala.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, you can meet a lot of these veterans who have benefited from what they do at Focus Marines. A lot of them are on hand. Holly will be down there. A lot of the folks from Focus Marines on Friday, September 11th from 5 to 9 a.m. We'll take the show live at Chickenelli's right down there in downtown Eureka. It'll be a blast, and I hope people will turn out, stop by, say hi, get some food. Part of all the money we raise that day is going to go directly to the Focus Marines Foundation. So, Holly, thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you. And we appreciate Chickenelli, and we appreciate you doing what you do for our veteran community. We can't do what we do without people like you.
Whatever little bit we can do to help, I tell you. Holly, we'll see you on Friday the 11th.
That sounds good, Mark.
All right. See you. Take care of yourself. Holly Klassner there with the Focus Marines Foundation. Show up down there just to say hi or get one of those great breakfast sandwiches. Man, the biscuits and gravy. Every time the Chiefs come up here to visit, they bring me some of the biscuits and gravy from Chickenelli's in Eureka. Outstanding stuff. We appreciate them. We do. We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out. I just got a text that Kim will be back tomorrow. She is feeling better, and we're glad to hear that. So have yourselves a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday morning starting at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.